Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning. Adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman. Episode 6, in which Mr. Finchley meets a one-man band, is put in the picture, and in which all is revealed.
Dad, can we pretend that the caravan is a ship and you're the captain? I'm already keeping a diary. Here, listen. Logbook of the cruise of the Yellow Caravan. Master, Dad. First mate, myself. Horse, church warden. Course, out of London under sealed orders with general cargo. I suppose, Dad, after we finish with the caravan and you found a house for us, could we have a boat and go sailing?
Oh, I don't see why not. In fact, before you join me, I met a real sea captain who taught me how to handle a boat. I'm not quite the landlubber you think I am. What on earth's that?
It's music.
Sounds like a military band.
Well, no, it's not. It's only one man. Hey, look, Dad.
Mickey Johnson! Hey, come out, Mickey, and greet an old pal. Mickey, you old thief, come out. Mickey!
Can I have some assistance?
Well, you're not Mickey.
No.
This is Mickey's caravan, isn't it? The picture's on the back. I was here when he painted them. Well, where is Mickey?
I'm afraid I don't know this Mickey of yours. This is my caravan.
Oh. Well, did you buy it from Mickey?
No, I bought it from a Mr. Harricott. He's a publican in London. The previous owner had left it with him for a long time in his stable, and Harricott sold it to cover the dues. Perhaps your Mickey was the original owner.
More sounds like him. Hard up one moment, rich the next. Jenks is my name. Jumping Jenks, the one-man band. Thirsty work, mine.
Yes, I thought it would be. I suppose you'd like a beer.
Well, that's very nice of you. Don't mind if I do.
Here you are.
Thanks. Your good health.
Cheers.
I was just working on a new routine. Come back, my fair-haired Swede.
Ah.
Yeah. You see, you've got to give them modern stuff or you won't earn a penny. So, you bought the caravan from old Mickey, then?
Who was this Mickey Johnson?
Artistic type, Mickey. Affable and moody. Unprincipled and friendly. Give you his last penny one minute, pinch your sock suspenders the next. So, what do you think of my show, then?
Well,
it was jolly good.
Yes.
I thought it was a regimental band, at least. Must be awfully clever, Mr. Jenks.
Oh, sure thing, son. All the Jenkses is clever. Runs in the family. Well, like German measles, eh? We can't escape it.
Oh, could I try?
Of course, son. There you go, look. Start on the 1812.
Plenny of room for noise there.
Now, you be careful of Mr. Jenks' instruments, Robert.
Oh, don't you worry about that. Come rain, come shine, they still play fine. There you are. Now then, boy, waggle your knees and flip them elbows like a duck going to market, and away we go.
He's a spark, isn't he?
He's certainly a handful.
A small boy's always is. Remember what I was like. Yeah. Time flies and we get fat.
What's your line then, chum?
Well, actually, I'm just retired.
Wish I could do the same. But I just keep going from one place to another. Rolvenden tomorrow. Sheep fair there. Maybe a few of the lads and lasses will want some music. Oh, well, the young hopeful has returned.
Golly, Mr. Jenks. You must be awfully strong. This outfit is very heavy.
Strong? Son, give me a glass of beer and the right song and I can make King Kong look like a bedbug with influenza. Well, I must be getting along. Thanks for the drink.
Oh, take care of Mickey's caravan. Ta-da.
Bye.
For the next few days, Mr. Finchley and Robert, like a pair of bumblebees, flew from one house to another, humming with excitement, only to find that there was no honey for them. It was surprising how difficult it was to find the right house. It was either too big or too small, too ugly or too fanciful, no orchard, too much orchard, too isolated, or too closely surrounded by other houses.
What we should have to do, Dad, is to buy a piece of land and build our own house.
Perhaps we'll write to your mother and ask her to join us. Maybe she'll change our luck.
Mm. I say, you there, stop.
Whoa, church warden, whoa. Good boy. What's this with the matter?
Nothing. I was just wondering, is this your caravan or did you hire it?
Oh, it's mine.
Good. Are you in a hurry to get anywhere?
No, we're never in a hurry. Not with old church warden here.
Seeing you has given me an idea. I could use you for a day. £5 for a day's work and easy work at that.
What kind of work?
Well, we're making a film, and I'm the director. James Grimes?
A film? Dad, do you think he wants us to act?
Oh, pleased to meet you, Mr. Grimes. I'm Edgar Finchley. As it happens, I used to be a member of the local amateur dramatic society.
Oh, dear.
They put on some very good shows, but gave me some very bad parts. You know, they never gave me a chance to show my real talent. Otherwise, I might have been in this film business.
Yeah.
For £5, you say, is that your best offer?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. It's really the caravan I want.
Oh.
Yeah, but you'll go with it, of course. We're filming just up the road. If you'd like to give me a lift, I'll explain the story and what you have to do.
Righto, Mr. Grimes. Climb aboard.
Here we are.
Now, get up, church warden.
Oh, this is perfect. I knew there was something missing from the scene, and the caravan will give it just the right atmosphere.
Oh, dear. This just the one scene, is it?
Oh, yes. But it's important to the plot. It's about a young boy who runs away from an orphanage to go to sea.
Oh.
Now, on the way, he gets hungry and breaks into a house for food. At the same time, the house is burgled. The thieves make off with some jewellery belonging to the owner, Lady De Vere Watson. The boy is discovered and chased by the police, who think he's the burglar.
Yes?
Yeah, the boy jumps out of the hedge and begs a lift from someone.
Ah, that'll be me.
What about the boy? Is that me?
Unfortunately not. We're having to use Clarence Armitage. Star of the Ghost of Greyfriars, young at heart, Little Lord Pomeroy.
Oh,
yeah.
Nasty piece of work, but the public love him. Guaranteed to fill the ninepennies. Anyway, you'll meet him soon enough.
Mm.
Clarence and Mrs. Armitage, this is Edgar Finchley.
Who?
I'm Edgar Finchley.
Never heard of you. What films have you been in?
Well, as a matter of fact, this is my first.
Oh, no, not another amateur. I don't like working with amateurs.
I'm sure Mr. Finchley will conduct himself in a most professional manner. He's going to be driving you in his caravan. That's it over there.
What? That funny-looking thing. I thought this was meant to be a drama, not a farce.
Clarence, that's quite enough. You're forgetting your manners. You could at least shake hands with the gentleman.
Don't want to.
Clarence?
Well, all right, then. How do you do?
How do you do?
What's the matter, Finchley?
Oh, Clarence, what have you done?
Well, I had to get rid of my chewing gum somewhere.
Clarence, darling, that was a bit naughty. You're so high-spirited, like all great artists.
If not a great artist, Mr. Finchley was at least on his way to becoming a film extra. Grimes explained the sequence and then told Finchley that when the police came after Clarence, all he had to do was to point to the bushes and say, "That's the way he went." Mr. Finchley drove slowly down the drive until he came to the bushes. Clarence broke through and asked for a lift and climbed up. The caravan started away, but had not gone 2 yards before Mr. Finchley spoilt the whole shot by leaping violently out of his seat.
Cut! What's the matter now?
He pinched me!
I did not.
You did?
I did not. Clarence, did you pinch him?
No, Mother, of course not.
I believe you. There must be a nail in the seat, or perhaps it was a wasp.
Nail, wasp, or just the devil trying to drive me insane? What do I care? Come on, back to your places and let's have it again.
They rehearsed the scene again and again, and finally Grimes was satisfied. He called Mr. Finchley over, and as he came across the grass, something stung Finchley sharply on the back of the neck. He swung round to see Clarence sauntering away, staring at the sky and whistling innocently.
The little devil has just hit me with a pea shooter.
Well, take no notice, it'll only make you more angry. If it wasn't for the box office drawer, I'd have kicked him in the backside long ago. Okay, we better get moving. Hey, Fred, can we kill that tree? And can we lose the church?
Hi, Dad.
Robert, there you are. I hope you've not been worrying people for autographs.
I didn't get any. Everyone seems in a frightful temper about something. Perhaps I can have your autograph.
Well, if you really want to.
Well, it'll be a start to my collection.
Now I know why they say actors should never work with children.
Why?
Because that boy has stuck chewing gum in my hand, pinched me, and then shot me with a pea shooter.
Did he?
Yes. And as you know, Robert, I've never believed in hitting children, so there was absolutely nothing I could do about it.
Well, you might not be able to do anything about it, but somebody might.
Yes, well, you'll have to excuse me now, Robert. I have to perfect my line. That's the way he went. That's the way he went. Yeah. That's the way he went. Mr. Grimes, I've been giving some more thought to my line.
Have you?
Yeah, and I also, I wondered whether flourishing my whip might lend us to see a little more, drama.
You were a great help, Finchley, a great help. And you did well.
Oh, thank you. But, I wasn't altogether happy with the final take. Do you know, I think I got more meaning the first time I did my line. I don't suppose we could do it once more.
No time, I'm afraid. Well, here's your £5.
If
you care to stay and watch the rest of the shoot, you're welcome.
Clarence? Where's Clarence? He must be exhausted after all that trouble. It's a pity you didn't get a professional to do the caravan scene, Mr. Grimes.
What?
So tiring for my boy to hang about while you dragoon people without talent into their parts.
Well, I must say.
Where is Clarence?
Last I saw of him, he went into the bushes with the police after him.
Clarence? Clarence? Find Clarence, someone!
At that moment, there came from the depths of the shrubbery a long and anguished wail. Then there was silence, followed by a series of grunts and scuffles. Suddenly, to extras, technicians and actors, the day grew bright and full of promise. And there, in an open circle of grass, Robert had wrestled Clarence to the ground. Clarence howled, Clarence wriggled, Clarence heaved, but Clarence was quite helpless. Mrs. Armitage gave a wail of angry rage and pushed forward, but it was amazing how her way was impeded by film people who seemed to be accidentally getting between her and her son. Mr. Finchley reached Robert before Mrs. Armitage. He caught his son by the collar and hoisted him off Clarence.
Robert! What on earth is this?
Clarence, my darling, look at your eye!
Mama!
There's blood on your suit!
I'll sue you for this, Mr. Finchley. You and your bad-tempered boy, look what you've done to Clarence. You've spoiled his looks.
Now, steady on, Mrs. Armitage. You can't sue boys because they have a fight occasionally.
But look at his face!
The make-up man can soon put that right.
He doesn't need a make-up man. He needs a doctor. Come on, Clarence. We're leaving.
Robert. What on earth are you doing?
Don't be angry with him, Finchley. I'm sure he must have been provoked. And in any case, this has made an entire film crew very happy. Here's a shilling, son. Ah, well, I suppose I'd better go and make the piece. Where did they go?
That's the way they went.
Ah, now you get the line right.
2 days later, Mr. Finchley and Robert found themselves in Burton's Pits, a disused quarry overgrown with a tangle of briars and birch, gorse and wild sage. At the foot of the quarry was a wide pond, almost the size of a lake. It seemed an ideal camping place to spend a few days, and so Finchley had written to his wife, inviting her to join them. It was here that they made the acquaintance of Joe Turnbull, a retired sergeant of the Metropolitan Police Force, who now had time to pursue his favourite hobby, fishing.
It's funny when you think of it. Me, a man of action, a man built for exercise, as spry and quick on my pins as many a youngster, and what do I do all day? I fish. I sit on my tail and watch a float.
Do you ever catch anything?
No. But then it doesn't matter, because I'm not really here for the fishing.
I see. Why do you have a rod and line dangling in the water?
For a very good reason. You see, if I stare at that float long enough, I'm away. I go clean off, wandering off all over the globe. At least my mind does. My body stays here. It's a sort of
psychic experience.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Many's the time someone's come along, touched me on the shoulder or spoken to me, and I've had to come back from Java or Peru or some other far-flung land. The times I've had, fighting and fair busting myself with adventures.
Mm. Well, that's all make-believe.
Oh, well, if you want real adventures, I can tell you some stories about criminals. Now, let me give you a for instance. I was once in a warehouse in Wapping, unearthing some contraband, when they appeared. Six of them.
Crumbs!
They came at me, wielding machetes. And I thought to myself, hello, Joe, we're in for some fun and games here. Anyway, I grabbed hold of the first one.
But that's another story, and one we haven't got time for now. After breakfast the following morning, Mr. Finchley and Robert were surprised to see a tall, slim man standing in the doorway of the caravan. In one hand he held a stout walking stick, and on the back of the hand was a large, star-shaped scar.
Good morning.
Who are you? What do you want?
You'll soon see.
What's happening, Dad? Why are those men harnessing church warden?
Yes, what is it? Leave my horse alone!
Sit down! There's no cause for you to worry, Mr. Finchley, none at all. If you avoid making a nuisance of yourself, I'll promise you that no harm will come to you.
What?
Good Lord, you must be the man who wrecked my friend Horace Blaine's caravan.
Yes, well, that was a mistake. I thought it was yours.
And that short, fat man outside...
is Duffy, who tried to break into your caravan some time ago and had to throw a turf at you to get away.
I've still got something to say to him.
We haven't done anything wrong. Have we, Dad?
No, of course not. And I've had enough of this
nonsense. So you are. I'm warning you.
Hello, we're moving. Where are you taking us?
Just going for a little ride. Don't worry, it isn't far.
After 20 minutes, the caravan swung off the road and onto a rutted farm track. Facing them was a timbered Elizabethan house. They were taken through a front door framed with abundant wisteria, down a long passage and into a large room dark with beams and half-panelled walls. At one end of the room was a magnificent open fireplace.
All right, Duffy. You keep them here while we search the caravan.
You know, you've given us an awful lot of trouble.
You're going to get into an awful lot of trouble over this if I have anything to do with it.
Stay where you are, Uncle. Never seen a blackjack like this. Nasty little things.
You're a real criminal, aren't you?
I am that, son. One of the worst criminals in the country. Eat you as soon as look at you. Got an awful record.
And you threw a turf at me?
Well, you tore my tie. Makes us quits.
What's the other man's name?
The boss. They call him Turk. Don't ask me why. And the other bloke's Hardy. But I'm not Laurel.
Oh, I know. But nevertheless, this is another fine mess you've got us into.
It's a pity you two had to get mixed up in this. I like you. Still, ain't no good mixing sentiment with business. Don't suppose you've ever come into contact with the criminal classes before this?
Only in books. Though I read a book called The Talking Corpse Takes a Bow.
Did you read that as well?
Yeah.
I pinched it out of the sixpenny books in the Charing Cross Road. Now, there was a book with some real characters. Not whimsy-whamsy Cyrils and Harriets, but real honest guys with a purpose. Mm. Like Mick the Masher. The way he murdered that judge was very neat.
But agents haven't got him in the end.
Yeah, but that was rubbish. Just a sop to the law-abiding, book-reading public.
But...
In real life, that agent would have finished floating face upwards in the Surrey docks. Books are just fiction as far as I'm concerned.
Well, we found them. Not in the roof, like Mickey said, but in a secret panel at the side of the window. He must have been wandering in the mind a bit when he told me.
Well done, boss. At last. Let's have a look, then.
Yeah, let's have a look, shall we? I think I'm entitled to know what this is all about.
I don't know that you're entitled to anything. Still, don't suppose it'll make any difference. A while ago, I spent some time in prison.
That doesn't surprise me.
And because I was a good boy, I was given work in the hospital ward. While I was there, I looked after a man who was dying of pneumonia. His name was Mickey Johnson.
Ah, the famous Mickey Johnson.
He told me that he used to travel around the country in a caravan and get to know the local nobs. Then, sometime later, he'd come back and steal anything which had caught his eye. Well, the police caught him after he'd done a job at the house of Sir Rekin Mailby in Hertfordshire. He stole a couple of paintings, but had never got rid of them.
I see. And I suppose these are the paintings.
That's right. You've been carting them around for weeks. And Mickey grew quite fond of them. But he was hard up, and after he parked his caravan in that pub in Hampstead, he went out on another job and got caught. And when he was dying, he gave me the tip about these paintings. Tell me all about them. Look. Good, aren't they? Hmm? And valuable, too, according to the man who's going to buy them from me. When Mickey told me his story, I thought, I'm going to have those. But I was a bit late. You'd already bought the caravan. Anyway, we got the paintings now. We can go.
Boss, have we got time for something to eat? I'm starving.
Well, there's no food here.
Yeah, what about these two?
Yeah, if you're going to leave them here for a while so we can get a good start, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take them to some grub. We could have some too. Plenty in that caravan, I'll bet.
Oh, all right. Go and get the stuff then, Duffy. I'm sure Mr. Finchley won't mind.
Oh, you should be able to find that easily enough. After all, it's not hidden in a secret panel.
At 11:30 that same morning, Mrs. Finchley got off the coach at the nearby village of Bartenden and, leaving her suitcase in the post office, made her way to Burton's Pits. There was, however, no sign of the caravan. Nothing moved except the birds and the faint plume of smoke from behind a patch of briars overlooking the pond. Mrs. Finchley, thinking it was her husband, walked towards it, but instead found herself looking down on the burly figure of Joe Turnbull. He was fishing, and as usual, in deep reverie.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning. Have you seen a caravan about here?
Oh, sorry, I was miles away. You brought me back from Arizona, and that's a long way to travel in a hurry. I was fighting single-handed against
Arizona?
A bunch of... It's all right, ma'am. Just a dream.
I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'm looking for my son and husband. They've got a caravan.
Oh, them. I know them.
But where are they?
They're not far off. As I arrived here this morning, I saw them going up the valley road. I suspect they've gone up to see the old house at the top of the valley. It's been for sale for ages.
Oh. Is it difficult to find?
No. But I'll tell you what. I'll come with you. I could do with a bit of exercise.
Oh, thank you. But what about your fishing?
No, that's all right. It was time to leave Arizona anyway.
Hmm. It's nice to meet folks like you, Mr. Finchley. Yes, you're appreciative of the difficulties under which we criminals work. Of course, if you tried to get in our way, it would have been just too bad for you.
Well, we'll have to leave them here, roped up while we get clear.
Roped up?
Oh, naturally, but they understand that. 12 hours at the most they'll be here.
12 hours?
Oh, that gives us plenty of time to cover our tracks. And we've given them a good meal so they can last out.
Very thoughtful of us.
Hello? Who's that?
There's someone at the front door. Oh, you keep an eye on these two. I'll see who it is.
Be a good boy, Robert. Pass them peaches. My favourite dish. Californian peaches, full of sunshine.
Well, I'd like to. But I've got to go!
Hey, stop him! Yes, and the man and the boy you describe asked my permission to leave their caravan in the barn. They've gone for a walk in the woods.
Help! Help!
That sounds like Robert.
Get back in there, boy.
Quick, that man's a villain.
Right, I'll leave it to me.
Oh! Crikey! Joe Pike's a bit of punch to meet the masher.
Where's your father?
In there. I'm coming, Dad.
Yeah, what the...
Hello, Duffy. Here's your favourite fruit.
Oh. It was like an avalanche moving down on a pair of flimsy chalets. Turnbull bowled Duffy and Hardy to the floor, grabbed them by the collar, lifted them, banged their heads together, and flung them to the ground with a victorious laugh.
Oh, short, but very, very sweet while it lasted. And now what is this all about?
Yes, I'd like to know that. It looks as if we arrived just in time.
Hello, my dear.
What a pleasant surprise. It's lovely to see you. How have you been keeping?
Oh, very well, thank you. Mmm. You taste of peaches.
You could probably guess the rest, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to. Joe Turnbull delivered the criminals to justice. There was a reward for the recovery of the pictures, and would you believe it?
Don't tell me. This is the very house that you've been looking for.
Yes, it is. I'm sure we'll all be very happy here, won't we, dear?
Of course we will.
Well, I could have told them that.
Why should you? After all, these are my adventures.
And so they are. And you've heard them all in Mr. Finchley Takes the Road. In episode 6 of Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning, Richard Griffiths played the part of Mr. Finchley, Dinah Sheridan was Mrs. Finchley, Peter Vaughan was Turk, Bill Wallace Turnbull, Jeff McGiven, James Grimes, Ian Bartholomew Jenks, Richard Ridings Duffy, Jacqueline Tong, Mrs. Armitage, Robert Gill, Robert Finchley, and Sebastian Brennan, Clarence. The narrator was James Villers. Mr. Finchley Takes the Road was adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman. The producer was Gareth Edwards.